The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a mutual note for you. When you hear the sound of an eerie laugh, a pistol shot, or the hard pounding of horses' hooves echoing through the air, then you know that it's Sunday afternoon on Mutual, and time for programs that are everyone's favorites for listening entertainment. The Shadow laughs, and evildoers everywhere tremble in fear of his invisible presence. True Detective Mysteries dramatize actual cases of criminal careers brought to an end by the untiring efforts of law enforcement agencies. Stories of outdoor excitement are brought to you on Bobby Benson, with the cowboy kid and his B-Bar-B riders galloping to adventure in the Big Bend country of Texas. And the clever sleuth Nick Carter proves his title of master detective is a deserved one as he unravels a tangled web of deception with polished skill. Remember, Mutual is first for listening on the first day of the week. Listen for the sounds of Sunday and enjoy The Shadow, True Detective Mysteries, and Nick Carter every Sunday over most of these stations. Scotty Digby had a small cabin just off the trail, about a mile from Selkirk. The old man had lived alone until he had taken in a young Frenchman named Andre Barnett. Andre and Scotty worked the old man's trap lines. As spring approached, the shed behind the cabin was filled with valuable pelts. But instead of being pleased with their good fortune, the skins were a source of trouble. Each time Andre tried to discuss the division of the profits from their work, Scotty said,
Listen, Andre, I took you in when you had no place to go. You've been living in my cabin and eating my food.
I have done more than my share of the work.
Oh, that's beside the point. This shack's mine, and so's the trap line.
Always you say the same thing. You tell me you took me in, gave me a place to live, and an opportunity to earn a little money.
That's what I did.
All right, all right. But what would you have done had I not been here this winter? Who would have taken care of you when you were sick?
Well, I lived by myself a good many years. I can take care of myself.
And work the trap line while you were lying in your bunk, too weak to move. I did the work while you were unable to get out.
Huh. If it hadn't been for me feeding you, you wouldn't have been able to do any work. You'd have starved to death if I hadn't taken you in. I'm willing to admit you worked hard and you helped me out plenty.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving you a third of what I get when I sell the furs.
Well, I not agree to that arrangement.
Whether you agree or not makes no difference to me, Andre. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
But I...
You heard what I said. That's my last word.
Scotty refused to discuss the matter further. Though Andre tried to keep his resentment to himself, the injustice of the situation preyed on his mind. Several weeks later, Sergeant Preston, accompanied by the great dog Yukon King, was riding toward Selkirk on a routine inspection trip. He drew rein at Scotty's cabin.
Whoa, Blackie. Whoa, boy. See?
Come along, King.
Just a moment.
Sergeant Preston and King, it is good to see you. Come in.
Hello, Andre. Thought I'd stop by and see how you and old Scotty are getting along.
It is not a good partnership, Sergeant.
Huh?
Soon I shall go elsewhere and set out a trap line of my own.
Well, what's the trouble?
Sit down, Sergeant, and I shall tell you.
All right.
We have had a good season. The shed behind our cabin is filled with fine skins.
Glad to hear it.
But I am not pleased. Scotty is determined and grumpy. He claims he took me in and gave me my start. I have worked very hard all season, yet Scotty insists he will take two-thirds of what we are paid for the skins. I shall not agree to such an arrangement.
Well, of course he does own the trap line and the cabin.
Yeah, that is true. But he was sick most of the winter. I did most of the work. He is going to town tomorrow to sell the furs. He does not want me to go with him, so I shall not even be sure of what he gets for them.
I know you're excitable, Andre. Scotty hasn't been well. Perhaps if you talk to him calmly and point out the facts, he'll agree to make more suitable division of the money.
I shall talk to him again when he comes in from the trap line. But of one thing I'm sure, Sergeant. I shall get my proper share of the cash. Then I shall break with Scotty for good.
Well, I'm sorry things haven't worked out. King, what's the matter, boy? What's in this corner? Oh, a rat hole.
What's that? King must have got a glimpse of a certain thief we have around here.
Thief?
Oui. It is a pack rat, Sergeant.
Oh.
For some time, small objects disappeared from the cabin. One evening, I saw the pack rat make off with a button. And sometime later, I found its nest under the porch. Come, I'll show you.
Keep away, King.
Look there. Just behind that support.
Oh, yes, I see it. A couple of things in the nest right now.
A small spoon and another metal button. Oh, he is a slick one, that pack rat.
He must be under the cabin from the way King's acting. Well, here's your spoon and button, Andre. I'll go on to town now. I want to get to the constable's office before dark.
All right, Sergeant.
I hope you and Scotty got matters straightened out. Come on, King.
That evening, three travelers stopped in front of Andre's cabin. As the three men approached the front door, they heard loud talking coming from within.
I am trying to talk to you calmly, sir, but you will not be a reason. I warn you, when you bring back the money tomorrow that you get for the furs, and it will be plenty, I shall not take less than half.
We'll discuss that when I get back tomorrow, Andre. There's no more to be said right now.
We have come upon an argument.
Yeah, but it seems to be over. Let's knock.
See who that is.
Good evening.
What is it you want?
We are heading for Selkirk and stopped to ask how much further we have to go. Also, if possible, we would like some water.
Of course. Come in.
Oh, thank you. I am Carl Arnim. These are two men I met on the way here. Ben Harwood and Art Topton.
I am Andre Barnett. This is my partner, Scotty Digby.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Have you come far?
We've come down from Dawson.
Yeah, that's right. Now that it's getting dark, we wanted to find out how much further we have to go.
Selkirk is only a mile from here. I'll get some water for you. Or perhaps you'd all like coffee.
No, thank you. We'll just take the water and then we'll go on and get settled for the night.
The following morning, Carl Arnim entered the trading post. The usual group of loungers was sitting around discussing the news of the day. Old Scotty Digby was at the counter receiving payment for the load of furs he had brought in to sell.
Well, there you are, Scotty. $1,200 in cash.
Well, thank you, Mike. I have a little business uptown, and I'll come back to get the supplies ordered. Good morning to you.
See you later, Scotty. There's something for you, mister?
I don't suppose you have shells for a rifle of this make,
That's a new one on me, mister. What make is it?
It's a German Mauser rifle. I bought shells for it in Seattle, but I'm getting low.
Well, to my way of thinking, you aren't going to find any in this territory. I'd say that's the only rifle with type around here.
Perhaps you could order some for me from Seattle?
Well, I'll try. But I don't know how long it'd take for them to get here. Maybe months.
Well, never mind. I may be going to the States soon. I'll wait until I get there. Thanks, just the same.
Don't mention it. Well, hello, Andre. You're looking for Scotty?
Not exactly. Did you buy our furs?
Yep. Gave Scotty $1,200 for them.
Merci. That is what I wanted to know.
Well, he'll be back soon to pick up the supplies if you want to wait.
No, I'll not wait. And there is no need to mention I came in. I don't want him to think I was checking on him. I may run into him uptown. See you later, Mike. So long.
So long, Andre. Now, about that foreign-made rifle, mister. If you want to trade it for a new Winchester...
No, I'll keep it, thank you.
Well, come in again.
Yes, of course. Good morning.
When Andre had entered the store, Carl had stepped back so that the Frenchman hadn't noticed or recognized him. Carl left the store and stood watching as Andre reined to a stop up the street in front of the cafe.
Uh-huh. He is the one who was arguing with a man called Scotty at the cabin last night. If I ride out to their cabin and wait, I can take the cash when they arrive there. Easy now. Get up, come on!
Carl rode to the cabin, and leaving his horse behind the building so that anyone riding up trail wouldn't see it, he walked to the front door, and finding it unlocked, entered.
Yeah, now I'll wait until I see them through the window.
Carl waited patiently with his rifle held across his knees. Finally, he saw old Scotty coming along the trail alone.
Aha.
He got up and partly opened the window, which gave a view of the trail. Then, deciding he could shoot the old man without being suspected, he knelt and rested the Mauser rifle on the windowsill.
He'll soon be close enough so that one shot will do the trick. Yes, it's time right now. One shot did it. Now I'll pick up the empty shell and get the cash. Shell, the empty shell. Ah, must have fallen through that wide crack in the flooring. Well, no matter. Would never be found there. I'll get the cash.
Quickly, Carl ran to where Scotty had fallen. He found the cash and then ran back. Mounting his horse, rode up the trail in the direction away from town.
Get up, come on!
Andre Barnett had watched Scotty leave town. Then, leaving the cafe, where he had been sitting near a window, he mounted and rode slowly down to the riverfront.
Oh, there.
He walked slowly along the docks, then sat down on a packing case and stared at the water. Andre knew his shortcomings. He didn't want to face his partner just yet, because he was afraid that, bitter as he was, his temper might give way and cause trouble. He sat for some time thinking. At first, he decided not to go back to the cabin at all, to forget his share of the money. Then, realizing he'd need cash to get a fresh start, he reversed his decision. He'd go out, take what Scotty gave him, and leave for good. He walked back, mounted his horse, and rode back to the cafe to have coffee before going out to the cabin. As he passed the constable's office, Sergeant Preston hailed him.
Andre! Andre Barnett!
Oh, who there? Oh. Hello, Sergeant.
I was about to go looking for you, Andre.
Looking for me? Why?
Because of Scotty.
I don't understand.
Are you sure you don't know that Scotty was shot and robbed on the trail near your cabin?
Sacrebleu! I did not know. Who could have done such a thing?
That's what I'm going to find out, Andre. You'll have to come inside for questioning. Because of a few things we've learned, Andre, we have reason to suspect that you shot Scotty.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. This is National Girls Club Week, May 11th through May 17th. Some of you girls listening may already know how much fun you can have in a girls' club. There are more than 35,000 girls in 16 states and Canada who do belong. But a lot more of you could join the fun. The club dues are kept so low that any girl can afford it. And you'll get an all-year-round program of most anything you're interested in. Arts and crafts, homemaking skills and baby care, athletics and free play. You learn to play and to work together. And in the summer, members go to a girls' club camp for a vacation that not all of you could afford otherwise. If there's no girls' club in your community, try to get your folks and other people interested in organizing one. Tell them it's very important to see that the little girls in their community have a club where they can get wholesome companionship and friendly guidance in out-of-school hours. If you can get your entire community thinking about the good that comes of a girls' club, you'll have one in no time. Now to continue. After being told of Scotty's murder, Andre was taken into the constable's office by Sergeant Preston for questioning. As Andre entered, he saw two of the three men who had stopped at his cabin the night before. One of them spoke.
That's the fellow, Sergeant. Just before we knocked at the door last night at his cabin, we heard him warning the old man that he wasn't going to take less than half of the money Scotty would get for the fur. Yeah,
that's right. All three of us heard him.
Where was this third man you speak of?
He went up to Beaver Creek this morning to see about buying a claim. He ought to be back soon.
Beaver Creek's about 3 miles beyond Scotty's cabin.
That's right. But Carl left some time before Scotty did. We saw Scotty heading from town. We were in the cafe. We saw this fellow there, too. He left right after Scotty did.
But I didn't go out the trail.
Sit down, Andre.
I didn't shoot Scotty. I didn't even know about it until you told me.
We'll talk about that in a minute. No use in you two men staying here any longer. Stay around town in case we want to ask any more questions. Though.
Sure thing, Sergeant. Let's go, Art.
All right.
Now, let me give you the facts, Andre. 2 hours or so ago, Scotty left town to go to the cabin. He carried $1,200, according to the storekeeper, and you knew about it.
Of course I knew. But I didn't follow him. I never left town.
What do you think of it, Constable?
Andre, if you never left town, how come you didn't hear about Scotty's death? The men who found him on the trail and brought his body in told the story all over town as soon as they left here.
That's the point, Andre. Where were you?
Well, Sergeant, I saw
briefly,
Scotty
Andre told of trying to think things over down by the river. Then he turned to Preston, saying,
I don't even have a gun, Sergeant.
I've seen you carrying a gun, Andre.
Well, sometimes I carried Scotty's.
Scotty's the only one who could verify that, and he's dead. You could have thrown the gun away after the shooting.
I didn't do it. I didn't. Believe me, Sergeant. You must believe me.
I'd like to believe you, Andre. I intend to get proof against the killer, and I sincerely hope it will not involve you.
Maybe King could pick up the scent of the killer, Sergeant.
King would have nothing to go on, Constable. Andre's scent would be all over the place, besides the three men who stopped at the cabin and those who found Scotty.
And so, you're going to accuse me of murder?
Not until we have proof, Andre. But in the face of the threat you made, and until we can check on your movements during the past 2 hours, we'll hold you on suspicion.
But I didn't do it. I swear it.
I'll do everything possible to prove you didn't, Andre, and to find out who did. We'll keep you in custody. The constable and I will check the alibis of the two men who gave us the information about you.
Sergeant Preston and the constable made inquiries around town, then compared notes at the constable's office.
I asked everyone I met along the docks about Andre, Sergeant, but no one remembers having seen him down that way.
I see. I checked the cafe. Found that the two men who gave us the information about Andre's threat were there during those 2 hours, as they said.
Yeah, it looks bad for him, Sergeant.
I can't accuse him of murder without proof, Constable.
Well, what do we do next?
First, we'll go to the trading post and ask Mike a few more questions. Then we'll go out to the scene of the crime and look around.
Come along, King. A short time later, the two Mounties entered the trading post.
Well, Sergeant, I hear you picked up Andre Barnett. Does he admit he killed Scotty?
No. Tell me, Mike, how many were in here when you gave Scotty that money?
Well, now, let me see. I'd say about six or seven.
Could you tell me their names?
Well, offhand, I couldn't. But I can tell you that all of them stayed on here almost up to the time we heard about Scotty.
I see. Well, in that case, their names don't matter.
The only one who was here and left was a stranger with a German rifle. Called it a Mauser. Come in to try to get shells for them.
Oh, that must have been the man named Carl the two other strangers mentioned. When did he leave?
Right after Scotty went out. But of course, Scotty stayed in town a while. I saw that stranger heading for the North Trail.
That adds up, Sergeant. His friend said he was riding to Beaver Creek to see about buying a claim. He must have gone out that trail sometime before Scotty did.
Yes, I know.
He sure had a mighty fine rifle. Did you ever see one of those Mausers, Sergeant?
Yes, but not in this territory, Mike.
I told him it was probably the only one of its kind up here. And as soon as he runs out of what shells he has, he'll not be able to use it.
He still had some shells, then?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. But he also said he was getting low on them.
We'll find out all we can about him when he comes back to town. But meanwhile, Constable, we'll go on out to Scotty's cabin. Let's go.
Right.
The
The sergeant and the constable, accompanied by King, rode out to the scene of the crime.
Oh, Leggy. Oh, boy. Easy. Here's about where the body was found.
Yes. Yeah, there are plenty of hoof marks and footprints around.
The bullet was lodged in Scotty's chest. So he must have been shot from up trail as he rode toward the killer.
Well, this is flat land around here. I'd say the killer would be someone he knew for him to get so close and not suspect anything.
It occurred to me the killer could have hidden behind the cabin or inside it. Let's look around.
Right.
Come on, Bucky.
Come on, get up, boy. Come on.
Leading their horses, the two Mounties walked to the cabin.
Look. The window facing the trail is partly open. Both Scotty and Andre had gone to town. No one ever leaves a cabin for any length of time with the door or window open for fear of prowling animals.
That's true, Sergeant.
Huh. Look here, Constable.
Well, look at what?
See this mark in the dust on the windowsill?
Yes. You think it might
be... I'd say it's the mark of a rifle where it rested on the sill. From here, it'd be easy to shoot a person who was riding up that trail.
Maybe you've hit it. We might find the rifle still in the cabin.
We'll search for it.
The sergeant and the constable made a thorough search of the cabin for a rifle, but without success. They went outside and searched the shed behind the cabin and looked in the few scrub bushes nearby for the murder weapon. Convinced the rifle was not in the vicinity, they started back up the porch when they heard hoofbeats coming down the trail.
Quiet, King.
Must be a stranger. I don't know him.
Neither do I.
Ho there. I did not expect to see mounted police here.
You must be the man named Carl.
Yes, that's right. I am Carl Arnhem, at your service, Sergeant. But how did you know my name is Carl?
We've talked to your friends in town.
Ach, of course. But what is this all about? What's happened?
We're investigating a murder, Mr. Arnhem.
A murder? Oh, that is bad, very bad indeed.
Yes, it is.
My friends and I stopped by here last night. The two men were arguing. We couldn't help hearing.
We've heard about that.
Well, I left town early today to go to Beaver Creek, so I missed the excitement.
Who did you see in Beaver Creek?
A man named Hank Aiken. He had a claim for sale.
Oh, I know Hank Aiken, Sergeant. That'll be easy to check.
Have you caught the murderer, Sergeant?
Not yet.
I don't think you have very far to look for him.
What do you mean?
The young Frenchman, of course, Sergeant. He must be the one who did the killing.
Now, why do you say that?
We heard him threaten the old man, Scotty, last night. It's only natural that since the old man has been murdered after that threat, that man Andre must have done it.
Now, hold on. Sergeant,
just a minute, Constable. I'm sure you were about to say we questioned Andre, and so far have no proof against him, weren't you?
Yes, sure.
You must have passed this cabin on your way this morning, Mr. Arnhem. I don't suppose you saw anyone lurking about.
No. I rode right by without paying any attention.
You didn't think of stopping again to see the two men you met last night?
Oh, no. I was in a hurry, so I didn't think of stopping.
I see.
Well, what's King after under the porch?
We'll go find out.
Say, look. I just saw a rat go under the cabin.
Yes, I saw it, too. It has a nest right down here by this support. That's a pack rat. We found several small objects in this nest yesterday when I stopped here. I found something.
What is it, Sergeant?
An empty rifle shell.
Strange. A shell should fall under there and into a rat's nest.
Yes, isn't it? By the way, that's an unusual rifle you have on your saddle, Mr. Arnhem. Foreign make, isn't it?
Yes, a Mauser, made in Germany.
Can I look at it?
Of course.
Oh, that's a fine rifle. I see there's a cartridge in it. It's an odd shell. In fact, it matches the empty shell I just found.
No, that can't be. It cannot be the same. No shell from my rifle could have been in that rat's nest.
Perhaps you haven't heard of the habits of a pack rat. That particular rat often takes objects from inside a cabin and puts them in its nest. Just as it must have done with this empty shell, which matches those you use in this Mauser rifle.
It is not possible.
It does, however. And you're the only one who uses this type of shell. You killed Scotty Digby.
Now, wait, don't move.
Put down that pistol on him.
I was too quick for you, Mounties. I admit nothing. But I shall not let you accuse me of murder on the strength of finding an empty shell.
You gave yourself away before we found that shell.
What do you mean?
If you had gone directly to Beaver Creek as you claim, you couldn't have heard of the murder. We didn't tell you who'd been murdered. Yet you said Andre must be the one who did the killing. That it was only natural he must have done it since he threatened the old man.
I noticed that slip, too, and almost mentioned it.
That odd shell is just more evidence against you. That's probably the only gun of its kind in the Yukon.
So, you have it all figured out, hmm? Well, who will figure things out when they find both of you dead?
Oh, we'll take you in for Scotty's murder on him.
No, I'm going to kill you both.
King had come out from under the porch and saw Carl holding a gun on the two Mounties. King, true to his training, knew enough not to approach a man holding a gun from in front. The intelligent dog slowly circled around until he was behind the killer. Then Preston called...
Halt, King!
I'll fix that, Doc.
As Carl turned, momentarily taking his attention from the Mounties...
Hold it!
No!
Preston swung the empty rifle he still held in his hands, catching Carl a glancing blow on the head and sending him sprawling.
Oh, the dog, he has my arm!
First I'll get that gun. I have it. Dunking! Watch him, boy. Now get up, you.
Sergeant. Sergeant, it's all a mistake.
Yes, and you made the mistake. Keep him covered, Constable. I'll search him.
Right.
Here's Scotty's wallet. His initials are on it. This money is the reason you murdered him.
This clears Andre.
Yes. Arnhem, we arrest you in the name of the Crown for the murder of Scotty Digby.
That empty shell. It's all because of that.
Perhaps it is. You might have talked your way out of the slip you made. But this odd shell clinched the case as far as I'm concerned. You weren't smart enough to pick it up.
But it fell between the boards and the floor. I thought it would never be found.
Our little friend the pack rat helped us out there by taking the shell to its nest. Constable, we'll take this killer to jail and free Andre Barnett. Then this case will be closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. Every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock over Mutual, it's time for the Children's Hour, with programs for all lovers of daring adventure and thrilling exploits. On Mondays, there's Bobby Benson, the famous cowboy kid, who gallops to rangeland excitement with his B-Bar-B riders. Wednesday and Friday, the fearless newspaper publisher Britt Reed dons the secret disguise of the Green Hornet and roars into action to bring evildoers to justice. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:30, Wild Bill Hickok, the real-life marshal of the early West, outwits rustlers and renegades in stories of blazing action. Tuesdays and Thursdays bring Sergeant Preston of the Yukon at 5 o'clock with the stirring adventures of a Northwest Mountie as he faces incredible hardship and danger to get his man. And Sky King follows at 5:30. Tune to Mutual every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock for programs that take you to a world of imagination all over most of these stations. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, the mining company office in Whitehorse has been robbed by a small gang. Payroll of $5,000 has been taken.
Are there any clues, sir?
None. They made that getaway in the rain, and it seems impossible to trail or find them. I want you to go there and search until you do find them.
I'll do my best, sir.
The trail of the crooks has been washed away, and even Yukon King can't pick it up. But an unusual story told by a boy camper gives Preston a clue that soon brings him face to face with the crooks and death. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Thursday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.